Again, the Astros take care of business. They sweep the Arizona Diamondbacks, and with that sweep of the Diamondbacks, one, they gain more ground on the Mariners, as the Mariners, they got blown out at home by the Brewers 10-2. And so now that lead is now to 6 in the AL West. And that's crazy, Clint, where we are, man, because that was very close to going from 7 and then going to 5 real quick, and then 3-0 in the third inning on Sunday with their ace on the mound, or at least their best pitcher this year thus far in Owuwu, him on the mound, and they could be, that could be a 2-game lead if they hold on to that lead. And now, after this series, it's back up to 6. And also with the Tigers losing today, they now take over the number one spot and best record in the American League, as they're doing that with all the injuries, all of the weird stuff that's happened around here.
It feels huge.
They are now the best record in the American League. Your Houston Astros. So they'll come home and play the A's, and potentially can add to it, see if they can take that series as well. So the Astros with a big-time performance. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access, as always, and I'm sure they will talk about what happened first day of training camp. Saw those guys out there today, John Harris and Mark Vandermeer. They follow us. Following them, Area 45, our guys, Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, Chris Santiago, they will hold it down as they will look at not only training camp today, and they'll look at the Astros and much, much more when you're taking in the best late-night sports show in all of Houston. Area 45, hanging and banging them. Area 45, they're knocking it out from 7 to 11 coming up after...
Hanging and banging.
Hanging and banging them, baby. Shaking and baking them is what they're doing. And T-Mill's best bets. Last night, T-Mill, he only won one bet last night. Now, he did push another, but he was in the red last night. He will have his best bets coming up in just a bit. All right, Clint, offensive line. Offensive line's the biggest thing and biggest question on the field with the Texans, and we watched him for the first time in camp, and I would personally say it went different than what we've seen at OTAs and at mandatory minicamp. Do you feel like you have a clearer picture right now of what the offensive line situation is going to be for the Texans?
No, I don't have a clearer picture. I still have some thoughts. I think Titus Howard's your right guard. I think Lakin Tomlinson's your left guard. I think Cam Robinson's your left tackle. I think the center spot is up for grabs, and I think that right tackle spot is probably a little tighter competition than we'd like between Blake Fisher and Ariante Ursary. However, those are just my thoughts. After watching practice today, it doesn't appear that anything is clear to the decision makers with the Houston Texans. The first hour of practice, the starting rotation was significantly different than the one rotation, if you will, during OTAs in minicamp, right? The center was different. It was Jarrett Patterson. The right tackle was Ariante Ursary. So those two guys were plugged in. And that went on for an hour. And then all of a sudden, when the team period started, all of a sudden, Jake Andrews is in at center. Blake Fisher is in at right tackle. Ariante Ursary is in at left tackle. It was just a juggling offensive lineman in and out. So, no, it's not any clearer what the Texans are going to do at the offensive line position than it was when we stepped out of the vehicle over there to watch practice for the first time today. In fact, I would say it's the water's probably a little bit murkier. The water's probably a little bit muddier, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Now, listen, there's competition, Clint, and you've been around.
Yeah. By the way, I think it's – I'm not opposed to what they're doing. I think it's fine. I just think it's a legit more competition than expected.
Well, like you said, Titus Howard at right guard, to me, and maybe Tomlinson, but Titus Howard at right guard is the only one that you, I guess, 100% feel confident is his spot, because he's the only one that didn't change off of that spot when they went with whatever the ones were. I'm with you. I think Tomlinson seems to be there. Hell, I would have put Andrews in that same boat as Tomlinson because that's what we've seen. I guess for me, you like what they're doing with the competition. And it's cool, man. Sometimes you see, all right, man, there's a competition at, you know, a guard spot or a tackle spot. Rarely do you see, hey, man, they're flipping four guys, right? And I guess my thought for you is, at what point do they need to get to a point where they settle in and these guys are playing together? Like how long does this go where it's like, hold on, man, these guys got to start playing together?
Well, I think it happens pretty quickly. I mean, you are installing a new offense, and it's not it, look, this wasn't a C.J. Stroud friendly hire and Nick Cayley in terms of terminology. I mean, unless they're just blowing smoke, I thought that there was a chance the terminology was very similar, and that was part of the reason that Nick Cayley's here. It's clear they're installing an entirely new offense. D'Amico Ryan's talked about it again today. He's talked about it multiple times in OTAs since we've been hearing from him with the media. So it's clear they're installing a new offense. You know, at some point, like the reality of it is, you're installing a new offense. And you're heavy rotation at the O-line position. And the reality of it is you've got let's call it three teams, but really there's more than that. But let's call it three. Let's call it the Bills, the Ravens, and the Chiefs in this division, right?
This conference, yes.
This conference. Let me let you in on something. They're not installing an offense. They may be getting a couple of guys up to speed. But their main communicators on the offensive side of the football, they're not installing an offense. They're not moving at a snail's pace and working on communication and working on the run game. They're working on advanced stuff. And so I'm not saying that the Texans should dictate what they do based on the teams that they're chasing. But the reality of it is that at some point this thing's got to fast track to, hey, we got to play football, real football games in a month. And real football games that matter sooner rather than later. And so you got to decide what center you're going to have in the game. Now, they're going to try to sell you a bill of goods about, well, we've got two really good centers and we like everybody and everybody's versatile and we got four guards that we really like and everybody can switch and do this and that. And, boy, Ariante Ursary's really promising and he can play both tackles and all that. They're going to sell you this bill of goods that this is a great idea. And for right now, it may be. But at some point in time, when rubber meets the road, you're already going to be behind offensively than the teams you're chasing, right? But how far behind, you're going to be able to dictate that to some degree. I think they've got to get their starting lineup, their starting guys, at least most of them, right, in place, I would say within a week.
Yeah,
I would see by the time you get four or five practices deep, Ron, you would like to see some guys settling into to a position.
I hope they're not flipping during preseason. Like preseason games, we got a pretty good idea. It's not, you know, three guys
that
you don't have an understanding of. All right, Tyler, T-Mill, let's get back on it. Let's get back into the green.
Yes.
What's T-Mill's best bets for tonight?
Yeah. That'd be real nice because if this is not a green Wednesday night of best bets for us, y'all heard it earlier. Clint Sterner's picking these tomorrow.
Come on, baby. I've never hoped for more red in my life.
I'm dead ass serious right now. But I got five for you because I got no quit in me yet. First, I got that squad up Highway 45 team in Arlington, the Rangers. They're hosting the A's. I got the Rangers money line at -130. Next, I got Canada, the Blue Jays, +1.5 tonight as they face off against the Yankees. Next bet for you is the Phillies money line. I got it at -135. They are hosting the Red Sox this evening. In that same game, I'm on the over. Red Sox at Phillies, over 8.5 runs on a hump day. And lastly here, your fifth and final best bet for Wednesday night. White Sox at the Rays, under 9 runs in that one. Those are your five best bets, and good hell, please.
Yeah, that Phillies-Red Sox series has been fun. You see how that game ended the other night?
I did not.
Catcher's interference?
Oh, yes, I did. Yes. That's real fun to
watch. Reviewed, too. Catcher's interference. Like the White Sox-Rays under. I made it. Yeah. And the Blue Jays, they have been hot. They have been rolling, so that's a pretty good one, too, there with the Yankees. So hopefully you get back into the green, man. Hopefully, or... I know Clint's going the other way. I know he is rooting against you because he
I need red. I need red so I can pick, baby, so Dirty Red can do a little picking for old Tiny T.
B. Scott, shout out to B. Scott for joining us as we had a great Texas report with him. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Texans All Access behind us, and then Area 45 after them. I am Ron. The show is always Houston. We love you, baby. I know it's going to be
a lovely day. To look like Will Anderson.
No, he'll drink the whole thing.
Lord. Hey, I got it too. I was there.
What are we doing?
What did he do?
It's 2-on-1.
You did.
What'd I say?
You said the S word.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Always playing games with my job.
He turned and said, did he cut?
Seems impossible to face.
Tyler, I love you too, man. You're so H-Town.